Does God hand-pick his saints? Now, what we mean by that is the question, does God look out over a congregation such as ours, and does he look at a person sitting over here and say, now this person I would like to have in my kingdom, so I will save this person. I will have this person come to Jesus and be baptized and be forgiven. But this person over here, I just don't know. I don't think I'll save that person. Now this is the question that we're going to consider. Does God look out, or perhaps we'll use the word, does God predestine people? Has God determined before you were born whether you would be saved or not? Has God decided who will be saved and who will not? Now there are some passages which would so indicate, and these passages, are those which some use to say that people are predestined. That people used to say that God does save this person, but not that person, and that it's already decided. Here are a few passages. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's turn there and read verse 13. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, and we would like to read verse 13. But we are bound, the Apostle Paul wrote this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You see, the verse indicates that God has chosen you from the beginning. Another verse, Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. And we'll read verses 29 and 30. I guess, as you're turning there, I'll just comment on this. Our message this morning, I would have to say, is more of a Bible study than it is of a sermon. And yet, we hope that you will benefit. We hope that you will understand why God's Word uses this word predestined, and why it sometimes indicates that God does hand-pick his saints. Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. Again, Paul wrote, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now this indicates that God has predestined people, that they are predestinated, that God is only going to call certain ones, that God may call you, but not me. Or that God may call this person, but not that person. And so if this is true, what kind of a chance does that person have to be in God's kingdom? Or if God calls you, but not me, what chance do I have if it's already predestinated that I will not be there? Then I have no chance. These verses almost indicate this. And then there is John 17:2. It says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. This is speaking of Jesus, of course, and his Father God, but it indicates that God has only given certain ones unto Jesus. Then Acts 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This indicates that there are only certain ones, perhaps even in our congregation this morning, that there are only certain ones of you who are such as should be saved. Well, now, if we're not saved by our works, if we're not saved by our good deeds, what is it that makes us such as should be saved? Why is it that you over there are such as should be saved, but someone over here is not? And then there is Galatians 1, verse 6 and verse 15. And let's turn there. Galatians chapter 1, first verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It indicates here that they had been called. And then verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me and so forth, indicating that God had separated the Apostle Paul even from his mother's womb. And yet Paul did not grow up as a Christian. Paul did not grow up believing. In fact, he was anti-Christ. He was opposed to Christians. He persecuted them. He stood by and watched as Stephen was stoned to death. And yet he was separated from his mother's womb before he was even born. You see? Indicating that God had predetermined the Apostle Paul was going to be saved. I'm going to save him, but not another. Then there is John 6, verse 37. Jesus spoke, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out," indicating that God had given unto Jesus certain ones, but not others. And then Romans 1, 7. To all, from the Apostle Paul, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Evidently here again, some are called to be saints. Now, if these verses are true, and if they indicate what they seem to say, if God does handpick his saints, if he has determined before the child is born or from the mother's womb, if he has predestinated individuals, then the choice of salvation is not even in our hands. Our destiny is set, and nothing we can do will change it. Therefore, we cannot really be to blame for our sin if it is predetermined what kind of person I'll be. Then you cannot blame me for my fault. And if this is all true, then God is either unfair or his word is wrong. And if this is all true, then evangelism is a total waste and should not be required, because if by obeying the Great Commission and preaching, still the only ones that are going to be saved are the ones God has already decided to save, well then, what good is evangelism? If all this is true, then the Bible must be in error, for these suppositions are all contradictory to what the Bible teaches. Now this morning we're going to consider, what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach about God predestinating someone, or about God predetermining if you're going to be saved or not? In other words, is it already written down in his book that this individual is going to be saved and that one is going to be lost, and that no matter what you do, you cannot change it? Or that the woman that sits with a child in her womb, that the child is already either saved or lost? No! We cannot accept that as biblical truth. And yet these verses, if we understand them in the light that we already read them, they almost indicate that. And so I believe that we must have a little deeper study, and we must come to an understanding of what these verses mean. What does it mean to be called of God, called to be a saint, predestinated, and so forth? I believe it's very important. God is responsible for who is to be saved. But we must determine what will determine who will be saved. Now let's consider what these verses really mean. 2 Thessalonians was our first one. Let's turn there again. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 13. We won't read through it again because we by now should know what it is saying. But he has said here toward the end of the verse, I believe, chapter 2, in verse 13. All right. Here it says, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Now, the problem is, Paul was writing to the Christians at Thessalonica, and he seemed to be saying that God had chosen them individually to be saved. Now, the key to understanding this verse, the key word, is the word "through." You notice in the middle of the verse, "because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. These are the criteria by which these people at Thessalonica would be saved. These are the judging standards. These are the criteria. Sanctification of the Spirit, or in other words, separation from the world unto the unto the place of God, or unto the dedication unto God. And then number two, the truth. Belief of the truth. These are the criteria. And what the verse is saying is that from the beginning, God has determined that these are the criteria for salvation. And that any who fall into these standards will be saved. This is how God has called and chosen from the beginning. He knew and he settled in his mind before the beginning of the world. You see, back then God knew man was going to be sinful. Back then God knew, before he even created man, he knew that he would sin and need a Savior. And so God planned, in his plan, he planned for a Savior. John 1:1 tells us this. And God also predetermined that any would be saved who would come under these standards, sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And so it was not that these individual Thessalonians had been chosen from the beginning of the world, that God had sat down and said, all right, now these people that will have this name and live in this house in Thessalonica in a couple of thousand, or in several thousand years, that they'll be saved. No, God did not do that. He determined that those who would meet these standards would be saved. But turn to Romans 8. Any Bible verse is much more easily understood if one will sit down and study it to find what it believes, or what it teaches, excuse me. Romans 8 and verse 29 and 30. Now here, God used in both verses the word predestinate. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now does this mean that God predestined so-and-so to be a Christian, to be conformed to the life and teachings of Jesus? No, it does not mean that, though it may seem to say that. Now the diaglot reads just a little bit differently, and I'd like to share that with you. The diaglot for this phrase says, because those whom he foreknew, he also predetermined to be copies of the likeness of his Son. You see, God predetermined that those who would be saints would be copies of his Son. He made this up in his mind before the world began. That his Son was going to be the Savior of the world, that his Son would be the picture of perfection, that his Son would reveal his character, his love, his truth, and that Christians should strive to be mirror images of Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us it was in God's plan and that it still is, that whosoever believeth on the Christ should have everlasting life. Remember, this is the criteria mentioned in the previous passage. Believing, the belief of the truth. Then we have John 17 and verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Indicating perhaps for some that God would give to Jesus certain individuals and not others. Now in explanation, we'd like for you to remember that in 1 Corinthians, Paul explained that some, in 1 Corinthians 3 I think, that some plant the seed, that some come along a little later and water the ground, but that God gives the increase. God converts the people. Even as pastor, even as Sunday school teacher, we cannot convert people. We cannot give the increase. We can plant the seed as we would go out at this time of year and plant our gardens. We would plant the seed, and then when it needs watering, we could water. But we can't give the growth. God must do that. And God has predetermined this, that he would give the increase. And this God does. And These are those who have accepted Christ, these are those that God gave to Jesus. He gives them to Jesus. Those who accept, those who believe. Acts 2, verse 47. It mentions praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It indicates that some are such as should be saved, and some are not such as should be saved. Now, this almost indicates that salvation is by works. That if I'm a real fine person, that I am one that ought to be saved. But that if I'm a very wicked person, that I am one that ought not to be saved. All right? This we'll talk about in a few minutes. Galatians, the first chapter. Let's turn there. Galatians, the first chapter, and verse 6. Here again, we come to the passage where Paul spoke of being called unto the grace of Christ. In verse 15, he mentioned himself that he was separated from his mother's womb. Now, here is proof that Paul was chosen, individually chosen as a person, from his mother's womb, before even his birth. And so, does this indicate that we too are chosen or predestinated before even our birth, that I'll be saved or I'll be lost? All right? Notice the verse does not say that Paul was saved from his mother's womb, but that he was separated in the mind of God. This is an example of special intervention by God. It happened other times, Jeremiah, Alexander the Great, Cyrus, John the Baptist, and so forth. Remember the stoning of Stephen? Many understand that there is a slight indication that Paul, as he stood by watching, holding the coats of those who did the stoning, that Paul at that time was questioning his own fire against the Christians. That he was not participating but watching, and perhaps wondering, even then, if something was wrong. If perhaps the testimony of Stephen, as he took the stoning, as he offered forgiveness, that perhaps this testimony greatly impressed the Apostle Paul. And so we understand that Paul, as John the Baptist, was called of God, was in this sense predestinated or predetermined to be used of God, but not that he was saved. He was not saved even when the Lord got his attention with the bright light and blinded him. Remember, he went to the city. He waited for 3 days before Ananias came to him and told him how to be saved. He said, "Arise, get up, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul obeyed. Then was he saved. Then did he come into a saving position in the eyes of God. Another passage, John 6:37. Jesus spoke, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out," indicating that God gives some to Jesus. But the point is, if we read on in the chapter, we find a similar explanation to the other passages, that those who come to Christ in faith, God has promised already to Jesus. That God has guaranteed to Jesus, "These will be your brethren," those who come in faith, those who come the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. It is so important that we understand that God has not predetermined exactly what you're going to do with your life, and that he has not predetermined whether you're going to be saved or not. That decision is yours. Romans 1:7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." It says that they were called to be saints. This does not mean that God handpicked them as saints, that God sat down and chose them as individuals. But what it is saying is that these people were called to be saints as anyone else is called to be a saint, because they listened with open ears. They accepted the gospel call. Now, in Acts 2:47, it spoke of those who were such as should be saved. And we ask you this morning, if you will examine your life, if you will examine your religion, your faith, are you such as should be saved? Now, I'm not talking about your works. I'm not asking, are you good enough to be saved? But in Scripture's eyes, are you such as should be saved? Well, we might ask the question, should not everyone be saved? We know it's God's will. In 2 Peter 3:9, it tells us it's God's will that everyone be saved. Now, He has said, He has predetermined that the sinners must be cast in the lake of fire. He has said the wages of sin is death. He has said that the second death is this lake of fire after the judgment, and into this lake of fire must be cast all those who are outside of Christ. He has determined this. And yet we know from 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any should perish. He has decreed that they must be cast there, but it's not according to His will. It's not according to His wishes. Not His preference. He would prefer that everyone, He would prefer that everyone in this congregation this morning be in the kingdom of God when the time comes. But we know it cannot be. Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. Everyone needs to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved, and yet everyone comes under this sentence of death. We have stood before the judge, in effect. The sentence has been pronounced. Death. The wages of sin is death. You deserve death. Not the first death, but the second death. Death. In the lake of fire. This is what we deserve. Who then are those who are such as should be saved? As in Acts 2:47. God is not going to look down to any of us. Now, we're all sinners. We've covered that. We all deserve the lake of fire. There's not a one of us that doesn't. But God is not going to look down to you and handpick you and snap His fingers and say, away with sin, you're going to be one of mine now. God doesn't do it that way. You know who makes that decision? You know who has to choose God or evil? You know who has to choose good or bad? You. Sanctification under the Spirit speaks of separation unto God. Belief of the truth means just what it says, belief of the truth. And these are the criteria by which it is determined whether we're such as should be saved or such as will not be saved. And I would dare say that here this morning, everyone here, God would like you to be saved, but there are some here who are such as should not be saved at this point. In other words, there are some here who are here physically, but not in their minds or in their attention, in their real concern. You're here, but you don't really care. You're not really listening. You're not really listening, planning to do anything, planning to change, planning to live for God. You're just here. And I would have to say that in my understanding, you are those who are such as should not be saved. But those who are such as should be saved are those who are listening, those who are trying to separate themselves from the world unto God, and those who are believers of the truth. Anyone who will search, God will help you to find. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you are here, and if you are here regularly, and if you are searching out God's word for the truth, maybe you still don't understand it, but you're trying, God is going to give it to you. But if you're not trying, if you're just riding through, if you're just saying no to the Lord continually, then I would dare say that the time will come even in your life with that the same as the time that came in the day of Noah when God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That you will reach a point where God will quit provoking you, where God will quit convicting you, where God will quit working with you and trying to bring you unto Himself. you will be such as should not be saved. Because you have made the choice. You have chosen not to accept God's plan of salvation. Hebrews 11:6 tells us God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you one who is such as should be saved? According to your faith? According to your striving to be separated unto God and believers of the truth? Praise God if you are. Then won't you accept God's plan of salvation? Won't you obey? Won't you not just sit there and hear, but be doers of the word? Won't you obey and accept Jesus as Savior? Indicate your faith in Him, your belief. Admit you are a sinner. Repent of your sins before God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And then give your life to Him, living for Him every day of the week. If this would be your decision, then we invite you to accept Jesus as your Savior and indicate to us your decision to be baptized in His name, to give your life to Him. Indicate to us your decision by coming forward as a public testimony, by simply coming forward and standing here in front of everyone, taking your stand for Jesus Christ.